Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Bernstein and McKnight. I'm Connor. Matt Spiegel is in for Dan this morning. We head out to the lines, and it's Ian Rappaport. Follow on Twitter at Rapsheet. Listen to his podcast, the Rapsheet and Friends podcast, NFL.com. He's all over the place is where he is. And one of the biggest stories the NFL has seen over the last 2 years, and really probably longer than that, Ian, is the Colin Kaepernick settlement. What do we know about the potential for Kaepernick to play in the NFL from here? I mean, it's the case itself is settled, but is his future in the NFL settled?
No, I would say far from settled. And, you know, first of all, as far as the actual settlement decision, agreement and everything, there is, unfortunately, because I always want to know everything, there is a lot we don't know. We don't know how much money. We don't know what stipulations were put. We do know there is a sort of a code of silence here, so no one is permitted to say anything. I mean, things usually leak out, but, you know, it's been 3 days and it has not leaked out yet, which is certainly interesting. And we don't know what evidence Kaepernick and his lawyers had. We don't know what the NFL's defense was besides that, you know, they didn't do it. Obviously, if two sides settle, there's enough of an incentive for both sides to come to an agreement rather than have this continue. I called around on some teams who I thought might be interested in him and have not seen him gain any traction yet. And it's interesting because I know sort of everyone thinks, and his lawyer said it on CNN, that, oh, now that it's settled, he's going to get signed. You know, he was a free agent a long time before he sued anyone. And so now it's been 2 years removed from playing football. I have not sensed any momentum toward him signing at all, unfortunately.
This doesn't preclude him, if I read you correctly, Ian, from filing another suit or another claim if he doesn't get signed. Now, like if he just says he wants to play and goes and doesn't get signed again, could he conceivably go down this kind of path again?
I'd be surprised because you know he settled and likely received some sort of monetary payment. I mean, I don't think that's happening.
Okay.
I don't think he's gonna. You know, I don't. And whatever his lawyers had, and you know, remember his lawyers came out very publicly and said they had a smoking gun, and then you're gonna hear about it on Monday, and then there was nothing. I mean, we literally don't know what any of the actual real evidence was. It is possible that the NFL just decided it's not worth it. Let's just make it go away rather than, I don't know. But I don't think we'll be going through this again at the very least.
Okay, because I had read that if he tries to get employed and doesn't, that he could file a fresh claim for retaliation. But you're not buying it.
So.
Okay.
No, because he was a free agent long before this all happened anyway.
Okay. And then one question about the financials. Because the Packers have to release their financial information as a publicly traded company, will we not know 1/32nd? Of the settlement payout from their report?
I do not believe that this will be in it. I could be wrong, but from what I was told, I don't think that this would be in it. Now, I mean, in my world, so much of what I spend my time doing is trying to figure out how to make information public. Like, all right, who would know? You know, how do you get at this story? How do you find out what's really going on? Who's going to be informed of this? And you're going to have 32 teams who are going to have, you know, a say or not a say, but a role in paying this. So my guess is something eventually comes out as far as what the actual money is. I just don't know what's going to be in the Packers situation.
Is the league in settling this working to the benefit of ownership the way ownerships would like? You know, are they doing enough here? You mentioned that everybody's going to have to shoulder a bit of the cost. Is that from the sense of it you get, the accepted business practice from here on out, is that enough for everybody, or are they kind of still a little salty about the way things have gone?
Well, I would say this, like, I think in deciding to settle, they obviously believed it was in the best interest of the league as a whole. And, of course, you know, the really good owners and smart owners know that, you know, everything that happens in a league is a reflection, and the league sort of itself, the big umbrella, is a reflection on the teams in general. Like when, you know, the league was going through all this stuff last year with Donald Trump and, you know, ratings were down, like it didn't affect one particular team, but it affected the league as a whole and it was bad for everyone. So it seemed like this settlement, in keeping details public and keeping depositions public, and you know, it would have been the last hearing in front of Burbank at the end of the month, which is why it makes sense to settle now. The league decided this was in the best interest of everyone, including its particular members.
I don't know, obviously. We're talking to Ian Rappaport here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Matt Spiegel is in for Dan, talking about the settlement of Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. I don't know where Kaepernick's skill set is, but I know he's been working out and ready to go. I don't know what 2 years off from an NFL quarterback really looks like once you put him on the field. But I do know that in seeing some of the quarterbacks that have played, there's just no doubt in my mind that he can be a representative NFL quarterback. I mean, Nathan Peterman was out there throwing passes for a while. And the league has kind of moved toward his style of quarterback as is. It feels as though there ought to be a fit for him. Do you get the sense that he's promised that he'll be looked at, or are we still waiting even on that?
You know, I don't think the league can do that. And I think that was always the problem for me. Like, people would ask, Roger Goodell was asked during Super Bowl week, you know, should Colin Kaepernick have a job? And he always had the same answer. It's up to each individual team whether or not they sign a guy. And I just don't, you know, I don't think the league is in a position where they could say, hey, you know, Robert Kraft, like, you need to sign this guy. Because then it's like, okay, well, what if I cut a guy who would make an impact on my football team? You know, like, it's all sort of individual, and I'm sure there's a lot of people. I mean, I would like to see him employed. I never got the sense that he was promised anything, and, you know, you couldn't even really do that unless there was an owner specifically involved in the settlement who said, once we get this done, we'll get you on our team. Meanwhile, you know, he would have dropped this lawsuit had someone signed him earlier. So, you know, that's kind of, to me, why this may not spur everything, because had someone tried to sign him, it would have just ended it.
Ian, what is your knowledge of truth in the NFL owner's pursuit of Adam Silver as commissioner? What you know, it seemed to come from the owners, and if that was indeed very much based in fact, how does Roger Goodell feel about that?
You know, he's got, I believe, 4 years left on his extension. And, you know, when he was in contract talks, and that the whole thing was sort of, it was never up in the air. I mean, this was going to get done anyway, but it was being treated like something that was up in the air. Then I would say it's, you know, I've not been able to independently confirm that owners did, in fact, reach out to Adam Silver. But if we assume the report is at least somewhat correct, then it would make sense. If you say, well, maybe this contract extension is not going to get done, then who would be sort of next? And I think at the time it was a sign that maybe the sort of next commissioner wasn't in the league office. It's been sort of a year from now. I don't know if that's changed. And a guy that some people thought would be among the quote-unquote next, Todd Leitwicke, no longer works for the league. So there was definitely a sort of feeling out of who actually could be the next commissioner if this doesn't work out. If that story happened, that would be probably where that came from.
What do you make, Ian, of Antonio Brown saying that Roethlisberger has what he called an owner mentality here, as their discussion and dispute kind of lives on? Is he shifting the blame accurately, or moving things around in any way that'll help him move from the Steelers, or help the Steelers move on from him?
I'd like to know what his goal is. And sometimes, like, you know, I fight myself on this all the time when, you know, you don't want to just send a tweet out real fast without thinking about it, because, like, sometimes you let emotions get involved, and that's not good. But I actually think this is sort of what we've been hearing, because he has been frustrated with Ben calling out him or the other receivers for a long time. This is the first time I can publicly remember him saying it. And look, I mean, he's going to go meet with Art Rooney, whenever that is, this week sometime. And he's going to say that to Rooney's face. He's going to say, look, here's why I reacted the way I did. Here's why I was frustrated. Here's why Ben can't do this if he's going to be the leader of our football team. I mean, I do think there's been angst for Antonio Brown and in his camp with him getting all the criticism, Le'Veon getting all the criticism, and Ben getting not nearly as much. This is the first time he said it publicly, but I'd be curious, one, what are Rooner's reaction to that is, and two, what is AB's actual goal? I mean, is it to get cut? Is it to get traded? Is it to have the team say, all right, fine, like, we'll tell Ben he can't call people out anymore, are we all good? Like, that's what I'd still like to know in this saga.
You know, James Harrison's comments in Super Bowl week were just remarkable, going after Mike Tomlin. How does Mike Tomlin maintain this job? Is it now a stubbornness issue for the Rooneys? Because he's been known as a players guy forever, but he's got unhappy players in every direction.
Yeah, I am not a I know what you're saying, and I don't mean to be a contrarian, but I'm not a huge fan of the what does James Harrison think? Because remember, like, he wanted to play forever. They kept him on the team despite being inactive for a long time. He was not particularly, by the time he was done, he was done. He was really done. And I know he's still frustrated the Steelers didn't keep him longer. And that's kind of what, you know, there's a lot of times when players have bad exits from teams and they sort of disappear from public view. And by the time they get back, then they've put it behind them and they're ready to embrace the team again. It happens all the time. James Harrison has not had that happen. You know, Mike, to me, if Mike Tomlin was a free agent coach, if he was fired, he would be the kind of coach that owners would fire their own coach for. That is how good he is. And I'm sure players are upset about some things. Players are always upset about some things. He has been consistently good for a really, really long time in a league where there's only a couple teams who have actually done that. And so I would say this, if he's hanging on to his job by anything, then as soon as he's free, you'll see a rush to hire him like we haven't seen in a long time.
Hey, Ian, I thought the weekend, I want to circle back to the Kaepernick settlement real quickly here. I thought the weekend would quell this idea a bit. And I admit it's an idea that I had. We were on air when the joint statement came out from Kaepernick's attorneys, Mark Garagos, and the NFL. So we had just read that and then we signed off and went on to our weekend. But I thought at first, oh, I wonder if this settlement will include a dissolution of any kind of relationship between Kaepernick and the NFL. I wonder if the settlement includes, all right, we're done now. We go our separate ways. His lawyer has said, no, he wants to play. The NFL hasn't right. said he can't play. The perception exists still, though, that the settlement might include some sort of language that he will not play in the NFL again. To your knowledge, that is not the case?
I have not been able to confirm that the agreement includes any language prohibiting him from playing. And I would say this, like, he has said often that he wants to play football. Would he have accepted this settlement if it barred him from playing football? Like, I'm not sure that he would. You know, and I don't know what would have been a deal breaker, but maybe that might have been it. You know, because it's hard for him to say, oh, I've wanted to play football this whole time, then agree to something that stops him from playing football forever. So my educated guess is that he is allowed to play football, but I just don't know who it's actually going to be with. I mean, it was hard before, and now that his legal situation is over, I don't see it getting any easier.
Will this settlement move the conversation that owners were having at the outset of last year about what the anthem policy is?
No, I don't think we may never get an anthem policy. And actually, I think one of the smartest things the league and the NFLPA did last year was say, you know what? We're thinking about it. Yeah, we're having talks. We're thinking about it. And the first game happened and a couple players kneeled and they said, yeah, we're thinking about it. We'll let you know. And then the second game happened and a couple players kneeled. And by the third game, no one was talking about it. And I think this is probably the last time we're going to hear the anthem policy. Because if you think about it, the TVs stopped showing the anthem also. It basically stopped being an issue just by everyone ignoring it. And I think at the end of it, because it was too hard to come up with an actual real solution that didn't drive one side crazy. So they said, you know what? Let's just kind of pretend it doesn't exist. And it actually worked.
Ian, baseball's hot stove season is a complete debacle and a disaster, and they don't know what to do with their offseason. Meanwhile, the NFL and the NBA, and hell, the NHL too, take them. Everybody does it better. Why does it work so well for the NFL, how they have the league year structured? What do you think has worked so well for them in terms of defining that, making it fun, making it interesting, and wrapping things up quickly?
That's a great question. I'm a big baseball fan, big Mets fan, and I've followed so much of Harper and Machado and all this. It's been incredible. I think in baseball, not that this is what you asked, but I think in baseball it's so broken because the only time you ever get long-term deals with these guys are when they're like 32. So you sign a guy to a 10-year deal, he's 42 at the end of it, and you spend the last 4 years being like, God, how do we get rid of this guy? And that sucks. And teams are, at this point, teams are too smart to do those deals. I think that's why you've seen, these huge deals not happen yet, mm-hmm. because nobody wants to do them anymore.
And NFL rookies get 4 years or 5 years max.
And then they're ready to roll. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, but anyway, yes, I think, the NFL it used to be 6-year deals, then it was 5-year deals. Now it's 4 years with an option. So contracts come quicker. Everyone has more cap space. So there's more trades, which is awesome because who doesn't love a good trade? And then they have a real deadline. And I think, the opening of the league year has become such a thing, part because of TV. It went from midnight to 4 p.m. So, I think the TV helped. It made it, basically league year starts at 4 o'clock. Everyone spends a whole week gearing up for it. And because there's a salary cap, you have to do these deals because you might run out of space, or if you're a player, the money might run out. So the fear of cap space being allocated and the fear of a player taking money from somewhere else all collides to like a crazy week. And I think the other sports are probably rightfully jealous.
Ian, as we let you go here, I wonder if you could play Nostradamus for us a bit. What will happen in terms of a media frenzy or lack thereof when Colin Kaepernick signs on with his new team and continues his protest of... during, rather, the national anthem?
I don't know what he's actually going to do because, he's made his point. It's been 2 years. He's gotten a lot of money for different foundations. The NFL has given $80 million for different public causes that I know Kaepernick was fighting for. And he wasn't on board with the Players Coalition per se, but the idea, at least, he was. Mm. I don't know what he's going to actually do, but I'll say this, let's say someone signs Colin Kaepernick tomorrow. It'd be breaking news. We'd go on TV for like an hour. He'd show up. He'd have a press conference. We'd go on TV for that. The first day of OTAs he was available, that would be a thing. And he'd do an interview in training camp. And that would be it. Because he'd be the backup quarterback. And he would kneel one time, but it might not even be on TV, honestly. And that would be it. I don't think it'll be what everyone expects. I really don't.
I hope that's the case. Ian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And enjoy the back half of the Robbie Cano contract, my friend.
that's really not cool.
You're
thanks,
right.
Guys.
That was mean-spirited. I apologize.
And they got Edwin Diaz. For the trouble, they got handed Edwin Diaz. So that's a win.
I'll take it.
Thanks,
I'll
Ian. Appreciate it.
Exactly. Thanks, guys.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.